Negapolin, a moral tale mainly for moral people. It is set in a public house, a Dublin public house, where Mr. Ignatius Cornelius Coulahan, publican, is purveying liquor to two somewhat sad and seedy-looking gentlemen in the back part of his candle-lit licensed premises. It is late at night. Very late at night. In fact, quite a little while after closing time. The title, I repeat, is Thirst.
And do you know why? Do you know why?
Ah, be gone, Mr. Coulahan, I couldn't send you.
Because he's no bloody good. That's why. He's no bloody good. And another thing.
What's that, Mr. Coulahan?
He has a brother from the County Galway that comes up here every year for the horse show. A hop off me thumb that you wouldn't notice passing you on the stairs. All dressed out in fancy riding breeches. Last year he turned up on the uncle's pub beyond in Drumcondra, complete with fountain pen and checkbook.
Oh, God,
the unfortunate bloody uncle. The poor unfortunate uncle. £12, 15 shillings. £13, you might say. £13 that he spent a month of his life gathering together by the sweat of his brow. And for God's sake, do you ever hear anything like it?
The checkbook is the man. And many the time I wish to God I had one of my own.
That's a lot of money to be strung for, there's no doubt. Some publicans is very foolish.
How do you make that out?
Of course, that crowd dig with other foot. You know that, I suppose.
And you just ask me to dig with both feet. Whatever foot suits the book of the term, they dig with that one. And they do all the digging in other people's pockets. I believe your man's wife was up for lifting stuff out of Woolworths.
Oh, is that so? Oh, I didn't hear that.
She'd be got to half the town is wheeling stuff out of that place night and day. They'd be bringing handcarts up there, some of them, you know.
You know, it's funny how some families seem to go on the one way. It's a sort of a streak. It's in the blood, I suppose. Oh, there's a bad, ugly streak in that crowd. Although every one of them got a good education, they were all at the Christian Brothers.
Ah, don't be talking, man. Sure, it's locked up above in Mount Joy, I'd have every one of them. That's where they'll be, yes. Doing a stretch of 7 years apiece for grand larceny and robbery and thievery and every crime of the calendar. And so wasn't there another brother that skipped off to America after sticking up a bank in the Troubles? All in the holy name of Ireland.
Oh, that's another thing that I didn't think of.
Ah, shall we put up with that too much in this country? There's a certain other man that comes in here for his point that ought to be locked up too. Very, very respectable gentleman. Oh. What was that?
I had nothing.
Shh. Shh, for God's sake. It's that bloody sergeant. On the prowl again.
Oh, not at all.
We'll keep very quiet.
Shh. For God's sake, blow out the candle there.
Holy God, we're bunched.
Shh. Guards on duty. Guards on duty. Will you please open up, Mr. Coulahan? Guards on duty.
Well, that's that. That is that. Yes, that's that. Holy God Almighty.
All right, Sergeant. Good night to you, Sergeant. That's a
handy
cold night for you.
This is a very bad point in any case, if it's not something worse.
Oh, this is terrible.
As you say, Mr. Coolin, cold, raw class of a night. It isn't a seasonable night at all. It is not indeed.
Well, we can't complain. We had an easy enough winter. No, he cannot complain. Cannot complain. your little notebook and pencil, Sergeant.
It's in the... In the wife's name, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Coulihan.
Yes, Sergeant. Yes, the house is in the wife's name.
In the wife's name. Of course, it was a good hardy day. We're lucky, I suppose, to get the rain at night and not have it down on top of us in the middle of the morning.
You're quite right, Sergeant, quite right. You know my name, I suppose.
I do. I do, then. And if I'm not altogether mistaken, that's another old friend of mine beyond.
Oh, too true, Sergeant. And many the time we've met before, and will again, please God.
Oh, faith, we will. We'll meet again many a time, many and many a time.
I suppose, Sergeant, you wouldn't mind if I finished me bottle of stout. We don't want waste in these hard times, don't
well,
we?
What you do know when my back is turned is a thing I know nothing at all about.
We might as well be hung for sheep as lambs, I suppose, what?
Yes, indeed. So we all know you have the terrible time of it, Sergeant, in the performance of your duty.
Oh, be gobbin, you're right, Mr. Coulihan.
It'd be as much as my livelihood was worth for me to offer you a drink after hours on these premises, Sergeant, and, well, we both know it, or for you to accept it, even on such a blizzardly night as this, when the flesh might be skinned off your bones and you're the pursuit of your duty. Think of that gentleman.
Oh, it's tough, right, you know, Sergeant.
Well, you know, Sergeant, that if I was caught offering you even a half one... after hours, I could be brought up on the gravest of grave charges. Bribery, bribery, corruption, suppuration, attempted suborning of the police force, and God knows what.
Oh, God save us, Mr. Coulihan.
What would happen to you, Sergeant, I don't rightly know at all, not being fully acquainted with the rules, regulations, and disciplinary measures governing the Corps de Chiahana. Ah, yes. We both have the hard times of it, Sergeant, and that's the truth. A drop of malt is what I need myself at the present time, because I'm not very happy at all. Perished with the cold all day. Now I have a breach of the closed doors on my hands.
Oh, true enough. The cold was something fierce today. Oh, it was desperate. You'd want mufflers around your legs as well as around your neck.
Ah, well, the summer won't be long now.
The summer? Aye. Do you remember last August? Do you, Sergeant?
I do when I don't, Mr. Coulihan. I do when I don't.
But it was a grand month of summer weather, Sergeant. I was out swimming in the 40-foot. Twice. The water was like soup. Oh, be gob, the heat of the rocks had nearly budding the feet off you. Be gob, Sergeant, that's a powerful lot of notes you're taking there in your little book.
I never fancied the water at all, Mr. Coulihan. I never had any time for it. You know, it's not a natural class of a thing to be getting into. It's all right for fishes, of course, but...
Oh, I remember the warm weather all right in August. It was one of the best months we had.
But it was grand. Bright, hot, healthy weather. Great weather for youngsters. It was very hot. You know, it put me in mind of the First War.
The First War?
When I was out beyond in Mesopotamia.
Holy God. And where's that?
Did you never hear tell of Mesopotamia?
Oh.
And there was me, fighting the Turks and the Arabs. Fighting for small nationalities. That's a quiet one, Sergeant. That weather brought me back to the First World War.
Them two great wars were desperate and ferocious encounters.
Well, I suppose it was very hot out there, Mr. Coulihan.
Hot? Did you say hot? Look, I don't believe... there was heat anywhere like it before or after.
Oh, my God.
It was a class of heat that people in this part of the world wouldn't understand at all.
Goodness gracious.
Do you know, Sergeant, a bird never flew on one wing, and when your back is turned, there's many a strange thing a man would do to keep himself in the air.
I suppose we might as well be home for our sheep as your sheep.
Oh, we must pack up and go soon.
40 years ago and more. And I can still feel that sun beyond in Shatalarab. That was where we landed.
Well, I suppose there was plenty of sunstroke among the troops and all that sort of thing.
Sunstroke? Would you quit writing in your notebook, Sergeant, now, till I tell you? It was this way. We landed off the place I mentioned on the 24th of May, 1915. Nearly 3,000 of us. We thought the heat in the ship was bad enough. And so it was. We were packed there like cattle, and the sweat rolling off us in rivers.
Oh, did you hear that, Sergeant?
Fair enough. But you know, the sea all around us was keeping us nice and cool, that we didn't know it at the time. Your best respects, gentlemen.
Good luck.
Best respects to you, Mr. Cullen.
Well, it wasn't till we were shunted onto dry land that we found out about that. Because I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it as long as I live.
Oh, you know, I'm not feeling so cold now myself.
The first thing I feel walking down the gangway is a bloody big rush of hot air up me nose.
My God.
The heat was belting up there with the ground like smoke out of an engine. We couldn't draw breath for 5 minutes with the heat pumping over the ground.
Oh.
And when we did get our breath, damn the bit of good it was to us. Because what? Do you know what I'm going to tell you?
Yeah.
The air was so thin and so hot that you couldn't feel yourself breathing it.
Yeah.
It was stretched out, you know. Tinned out by the heat coming up at us, out of the ground and out of the sky on all sides. It was dried and no moisture in it at all. Like a withered pea.
Oh, I see.
It was like putting your head into an oven and taking a deep breath.
Oh, be God, I wouldn't fancy that at all. Bad as the weather is in Ireland, it's better than that.
Oh, it was worse than that. Far worse. I couldn't tell you how bad it was. We wouldn't finish gasping for breath standing there, lined up on the quayside, when another desperate thing happened.
Jenny Mackin.
The lads were hours coming off the boat, and the rest of us were lined up there standing by, waiting for kit and rifles and all that class of thing. Well, do you know what happened?
No.
I got tired standing on my feet, if you know what I mean, and went to change me weight from one foot to the other. Do you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you know what I'm going to tell you? Me feet were stuck.
Stuck?
Stuck?
Stuck to the ground.
Stuck to the ground. The Lord save us, Mr. Q.
Gabby, you must have having spikes then.
Spikes be damned. When we all standing there in our tropical rubber sole shoes and wasn't all the rubber melting under us.
Oh, I never heard the like of that. Never.
Can you imagine it? 1,000 men lined up there in the quay and not one of them able to budge. Oh, my God, it was fierce.
I sure got
fierce. Yeah. And you know, there was a stink off the rubber. What do you think of that?
Gosh, did you ever throw a bit of rubber into the fire by accident? Huh? Because the hum of it would destroy your nose altogether.
Because we were soldiers, you know. Soldiers, see? No question of, please, sir, I'm stuck to the ground, sir. My shoes is melting, sir, you know? Oh, what'll I do, sir? Oh, none of that class of thing at all. Oh, no. It was just a question of, standing there, waiting for the other two. Quick match.
I say, that was a nice mess to be in, to be sure. Mm.
Soldiers we were. Don't be talking, man. You should have seen us when we got the order. Do you know what it was like? Yeah. Did you ever see a fly? A fly trying to walk off a fly paper?
Oh, I know, yeah. I know what you mean. Buzzing and roading and twisting and working away with the legs. Up to his neck in muck and sticky stuff.
Oh, my God.
It was just like flies in a fly paper.
Isn't that what I was saying there, Mr. Cullen?
It was a match of only 200 yards to our quarters. But it was the dirtiest, sweatiest, stickiest and driest match we ever had.
Yeah.
The skin was wore away from the top of our feet, from the pulling of the shoes.
Oh.
We were in a desperate condition altogether by the time we got there. Every man in a leather of sweat. His clothes sticking to his skin and his tongue hanging out of him. Oh, like a dog's.
Pick up, Sergeant. Your own chunks begin to hang out like a dog's as well.
Pick up, you'd want to keep drinking for the rest of your life to make up for that.
Oh, you wouldn't. Oh,
begging the Sergeant's pardon and kind indulgence, I'm going to have one last bottle of stout myself. Because I feel the want of it after thinking about me days as a soldier. Out in a mess pot. When I was misguided enough as a young lad to serve under the British Crown.
Oh, we could all do with a bottle of stout, Mr. Coulihan. I feel a sort of a tickle in me throat.
I'm finishing my notes here, and when my notes are finished, we'll all have to say goodnight and go home to our beds, and thank God that we've homes to go to.
Oh, you never spoke through a word, Sergeant, never. Sometimes
there might be murders and all classes of illegalities going on behind my back. There might. And what I don't see, I don't know. Oh, the law's very queer and tricky thing, and nobody knows that better than myself.
Spoken like a sensible man, Sergeant. And we're all very grateful. We know you're only doing your duty. Just the same as we were when we were serving in the King's uniform out in Mesopotamia. Before it was budding off our backs with the heat.
Well, I suppose you had many a bad time after the day you landed in the rubber shoes, Mr. Kilhamas.
Bad times. Bad times. Lord save us. Did I not tell you about the desert?
Oh, you did not know.
We had some desperate times out in the desert. The heat was so bad that only half of the lads survived to tell the tale.
Oh, I see.
We were never in action at all in that particular place, but the casualties were 50%. Think of that.
Oh, right enough. It's a desperate thing to get the sun on the back of your neck. You can get all classes of strokes from that.
Ah, yes. I remember it well. No man that lived through that will ever have the memory of it off his mind. Not even if he had his brain washed.
Oh, big God, I'd hate to have me brain washed. It's bad enough having to wash...
There was a detachment of Arab madmen, Suizers, away out in the desert, near some oasis or other. There they were, mustering together to get ready to come in and attack us.
Big God, huh?
Maybe there was 1,000 of them in it. And others, coming in on camels to join them.
Camels? Oh, big God, that's a busy, yes.
So, the order comes down that we're all to march out and go for them before they had a chance to get themselves into battle order. That was the way it was. I'll never forget it. As long as I live, never.
Well, with the fire out in the desert?
I'd say now about 25 or maybe 30 miles as the crow flies.
And does there be crows in the desert, huh?
At 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 AM, we call us, we got the order. Get ready to march in 2 hours. On with the rubber shoes, the packs, the belts, the water bottles and the bloody big rifles. There was a load that would kill a man in his health, even here. Then, out on parade. Quick, march, left, right, left, right, left, right. Away into the wilds with us. A straggling string of men staggering out in the burning sand. Just when the sun was getting into form. We were expected to reach the enemy, if you don't mind, in the middle of the next night.
Oh, that'd be good going, wouldn't it?
24 hours bloody first match. Fair enough, you might say. When we soldiers, we're used to that class of thing. But we were best. Best after the first hour. Better the ropes. What'll I tell you? The first thing that went wrong with us was the shoes again.
Didn't I tell you?
When I was walking along there, the grains of sand were so hot that they let off sparks when my shoes rubbed them together.
You would have been a gift to the ESB at that rate.
There was a sort of fur of sparks under my feet every time I put them down. And then the rubber began to melt again and give out little puffs of smoke.
Oh.
Between that and the smell of the rubber burning, I was in a desperate condition. Soon, the feet began to be roasted, like two joints with a fur under
them. The Lord save us.
Desperate, don't be talking, man. When I get an extra special stab of heat in the feet, I give a lip into the air with the pain of it, but then I come down on the sand again and I get a worse roasting from the way to the lip. Showers of sparks flowing left, right and centre and half the lads getting squeezed in with them. And do you know what was happening all this time?
I suppose the Emini lads were lying in wait behind the trees with all the artillery standing by to blow the whole lot of you to hell, huh?
What trees?
Wouldn't there be all classes of palm trees about the place?
Not at all. There's nothing in a place like that, only sand. Sand as far as the eye can see.
Well, I'll tell you what was happening all this time. I declare to God, the sun began to come down on top of us. Out of the sky.
Out of the sky.
Every minute that passed, it seemed to be lower. And lower. Down. Down. On top of our heads. The heat, gentlemen. The heat.
Oh, you crow. It must have been bad all right.
Lord, save us. I can nearly feel it still. I kept on staggering across the sand with the others. After a little while, I felt a queer thing happen.
I was just going to say that.
Will you shut up and let the man tell
us? After a little while, I began to dry up.
You began to dry up?
Every bit of me began to get dried up and withered. The first thing that went out of order was the tongue and the mouth. My tongue began to get dry and cracked. And then it began to get bigger. I swelled out till it nearly choked me. I got as hard and dry as a big cinder.
Oh,
I couldn't swallow it. Oh. The whole inside of me mouth got dry and cracked in the same way, and so did my neck. And all inside me.
Oh, the Lord be sweet, there's not all that.
Well, the heat was getting down inside me and burning everything up. It was like being grilled, except there was no gravy. And then me nose began to dry up and get cracked and wrinkled. Like the thing you'd see in a mummy. Exactly!
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, I suppose dyes were affected too.
Don't be talking, man. The eyes begun to get singed and budding at the edges and close up and get smaller. Like a hole budding in a tablecloth be a cigarette. And as well as that, the watery part dried up in a way that was something fierce.
Oh, no.
Oh.
It would remind you of a corpse or something. And all the time, the sun was coming down and sitting on us like a red-hot iron. Before I knew where I was, the eyebrows was gone.
Oh, this is desperate. Oh, this has me tongue and mouth that parched that I couldn't even
try. Me eyebrows, withered and scorched away with the heat they were. It was the fiercest, unmerciful bit of heat I ever felt in my life. Hell itself couldn't be anything half like.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's awful.
It was terrible. Oh. Terrible, terrible. There we were, staggering through the bloody, brazen, boiling, blankety blank heat. The skin chipping and cooling off our faces. Our bodies drying up and withering into wrinkles. Like prunes. And a hot, dry torch coming up out of our beaks like a blast from a furnace. Oh, my God, it was desperate. You know the first thing the lads done? Nearly every one of them.
Turning back and match for home. Would that help?
What did they do?
Took off the water bottles and threw them away.
Oh,
honest to God, no word of a lie. I've seen them getting further away by the hundred, sitting down in the sand like bits of glass, with the sun coming up on them and taking the sight out of your eyes. Do you know why?
No.
I'll tell you why. The water bottles was made of metal.
Oh,
some class
God.
Of a tin aluminium. Oh. Aluminium as thin as a sheet of paper.
God.
Well, we got when that sun got to work on them bottles. I needn't tell you what happened. First of all, the water got up to nearly boiling point. Even if you could hold the bottle in your hand and open it, the water would be no good to you, because it would scald the neck off you. But that wasn't the only thing. Oh, no. Well, all the staggering and pulling and pushing, half the lads got their two hands nearly buttoned off them from touching the bottles by accident. Oh, my God, it was fierce. Desperate. Like walking around with a brazier tacked onto your back.
Oh, my God.
There's only one thing to do. Get rid of them. The bottles are mean. Away with them, no matter damn what else happens.
Wasn't it terrible? Throwing away bottles full of water in the middle of the desert. The very toss was it make you.
There you were.
Well, of course, now you could have buried all the bottles deep down in a hole, and then you could have come back for them when the toast was at you. Should the water be nice and cool down below in the hole? If you know what I mean.
Ah, for God's sake, man, put all the bottles down in the hole. And what happened after that, Mr. Kewland?
Well, of course, what happened after that is not a thing I'd like to swear to, because the heat began to have a bad effect up here in the attic, number one.
Oh, I suppose so.
There's a lot of moisture and blood and so on in the brain, you know, and brain is like a wet sponge.
Oh.
Dry up that wet sponge, and very queer things is going to happen. Very quiet time.
Sure, God's help you. I suppose you're lucky to be alive at all.
Very quiet time. The first thing that happened to me was that I lost my sense of direction.
Oh, that was bad. That was very bad. But did you ever
hear? I didn't know where my head and my heels was, or whether I was standing or sitting, you know. To tell you the God's truth, I was falling all over the place.
Well, just let me go.
So were the other lads, walking and crawling on top of each other. Every man as dry as a bit of brick, with his tongue swollen out in his parched mouth, half choking him. And the thirst! The thirst!
Begone, Mr. Coolin. You're me bit. Bit to the ropes. There, you can have me notes, book, pencil and all. Hand me them two balls of malt, will you?
Not the two of them, Sergeant.
And if there's a third one, I'll punish that as well. Tell me, lads, does anybody mind if I sing The Rose of Tralee?
You have been listening to Thirst by Miles Nagopoulin, presented for radio by Larry Morrow. Those taking part were Thomas Studley as the publican and Eamon Kelly as the sergeant. The customers were Brendan Caldwell and Arthur O'Sullivan. Production was by Larry Morrow.